Podcast audiobook has been brought to you by Open Digital Library. To join us, just tap search. We are a community on VK. Open Digital Library. We post what others can't find.
Audible Studios presents Melancholy. Written by Bella Jewell, performed by Stella Bloom and Charles Lawrence.
Prologue. To truly understand a story, you need to start from the beginning. But to start from the beginning, you have to go back, further than just you. After all, our stories don't start with us, do they? Our stories start with the person before us and the person before them. We are created from the stories of those people, from their mistakes, from their achievements, from their love, and their hate. No one's story is ever truly their own. I tried to create my own story, my own path, and my own actions. I've seen things people only see in their worst nightmares, but I never let them beat me down. I never let that become who I was. I picked myself up, and I kept going. Everything was what it was. There was no point analyzing what it could be. Could be didn't matter. Until Maddox came into the picture. He saved my life. He changed my world, giving me the second chance some of us only dream about. There was only one thing missing in my second chance, and she was the reason I fought so hard to survive. My sister. My sister who was supposed to be dead. Well, at least that's what I thought. That's what he told me. Now is where my story changes, but to understand this story, you have to start at the beginning, where it all began, and before. Chapter 1, 2007, Santana. My breathing comes in short, hard bursts as I press my body against the cool wall. My skin is clammy, but I'm too afraid to lift my hand to wipe it away, desperate to remove the beating sweat from my forehead. I squeeze my sister's hand as I close my eyes. If I close my eyes, I won't be so afraid. I can take myself to a world he isn't in. When I close my eyes, I remember a better time. A time when my parents were alive. A time when my sister's smile lit up my life. A time when nothing hurt. Now everything hurts. My sister never smiles, and my parents are dead. My world went from beautiful to hell in a matter of hours. That's all it takes to change a life. A mere few hours. My first memory as a child is one I'll hold with me for a long, long time. It's where I go when fear takes over. I smile when I think of my sister's happy face as my father led her outside, his brown eyes twinkling. I held on to his hand and he squeezed mine tightly. My sister's eyes were firmly shut, but her body thrummed with excitement. The moment she was able to open them, her squeals filled the silent air around us. Her face lit up as she saw the cubby house Dad and I had spent hours putting together for her birthday. Her blonde ringlets bounced as she spun around, throwing her arms around Dad, then me. It was the best moment of my life. Then an accident stole my parents from me. There was no family. Well, none that wanted us anyway. We were sent into foster homes, constantly separated. Finally, when I was 14, we were put in together. That family was torture in its purest form, and our time there quickly became hell on earth. Now I spend my days trying to protect my sister, putting myself first because I can't bear to see the pain in her face when he hurts her. Each day is a battle, and we'll fight that battle until I can get us out of here. I'd rather live on the streets than be at the hands of this monster any longer, so that leads me to the here and now, my sister and myself crushed against the wall, holding our breaths as he leaves the room. Waiting, praying, hoping. My fingers slide over hers, letting her know I'm still there, letting her know I won't let her go, not ever. When I open my eyes and turn to her, she's in her happy place too. Her eyes are tightly closed, her breathing steady. I taught her how to live in the beautiful space that lies in her mind. Nothing can hurt her there.
Girls!
Oscar barks, his heavy footfalls coming towards us. I press myself further against the wall, praying with everything I have inside me that he won't open the closet. I pray he'll think we've gone to school. I squeeze Pippa's hand when I hear her breathing becoming deeper. She squeezes back, a silent answer to my question. She's okay. We're okay. For now.
Girls! Where the fuck are you? If you're ignoring me, so help me God, I'll fucking make it hurt!
He will, too. He doesn't abuse us sexually, which I'm thankful for every day. Instead, he has an obsession with control. He likes the feeling of power he gets when he holds us down and brings his fists to our faces. He'll do anything he can to call us out on a lie so he can have the satisfaction of carrying out the punishment. His footsteps get closer, and we both stop breathing, our hands squeezed so tightly my fingers ache. He stops, grunts, and then stomps away down the hall. I let the breath I was holding out, and tears prick my eyelids with relief. That relief grows when the car starts up and skids off down the road. We open the door quickly, stepping out. We only have a tiny backpack that contains enough for us to survive and keep warm. We've stolen money during the past 6 months, gathering around $500 in that time. He suspected we were stealing, of course, and we dealt with the beatings he dished out because of it. He never found our stash, though. Another small miracle, I'm sure. We have to hurry. He'll be back in less than 10 minutes. Pippa nods, tucking a strand of faded, ratty blonde hair behind her ear. Her once chocolate brown eyes are now dull and lifeless. Pippa and I are two completely different girls. She's just like our father, and I'm more like our mom. She's fair with blonde hair, lighter skin, and brown eyes, while I'm dark. My skin is olive, my hair is dark brown, and there are days my eyes seem nearly black. Our bond, however, is unbreakable.
I don't want him to find us, Pippa whispers, staring at me with a frightened expression.
I cup her face in my battered hands, smiling down at her with everything I have. I'll never let him hurt you again, Pippi. Never. She smiles up at me. I've called her Pippi since the day she was born. I always thought it suited her more. Let's go, I encourage her, taking our bag and running towards the front door. Stepping out onto the street today seems different. It feels like there's hope in the air. Like we might actually have a chance to live and breathe again. Taking my sister's hand, I take the first step to freedom. No more foster homes, no more evil men, and no more being apart. This is our chance at freedom, and I'm not letting it go. 2014, Santana. Bright lights jerk me awake. The shrill sound of beeping monitors is the only noise that fills my aching ears. I try to blink, but my eyes feel like two heavy pieces of lead in my skull. My tongue is dry and it burns, like a scratchy piece of sandpaper in my mouth. I gasp out of breath, flicking it about to try and get some saliva to coat it. Santana? A voice calls. My name is Roberta. I'm a nurse here. Can you hear me? Of course I can hear you. You're yelling in my face. The words want to come out, but my stiff tongue won't move enough to let them. Tears burn under my heavy eyelids as I try hard to speak. Where am I? What happened? You're in the hospital. Squeeze my hand if you can hear me. A soft hand is in mine. How did I not notice that? I squeeze it. Mulling over her words. Hospital. You're in the hospital. My hazy mind swims as I go over the memories lying dormant inside it. Why am I in the hospital? What happened? Did something go wrong? Where is Pippa?
You were shot,
the nurse goes on. Shot? I shake my head from side to side, confused. I cry out, but it sounds like nothing more than a hoarse gasp. The sounds of creaking doors and beeping are too loud.
Is she awake? Why the fuck wasn't I called?
A barking voice fills the room, so familiar. My mind swims, trying to figure out whom that voice belongs to. God, why can't I remember anything? My mind aches.
Santana? Hey, it's me, Maddox.
Maddox? More tears run as fuzzy memories become clearer. Running from the compound. Ash, Crypt, and Maddox. Together. Having sex. Bullets firing at me. I hiccup loudly and begin to cry harder as my hand reaches out for the comfort I need the most. Maddox.
I'm here,
he says, and the bed dips as my body is pulled into his solid arms.
No one can hurt you now.
The words he's told me so many times. So many times. I flutter my eyes open and everything is blurry. The nurse comes into view first, her round face staring down at me. She blinks her green eyes and smiles.
Hi, would you like some water?
I nod, and she passes me a small plastic cup with a straw poking out. I take it and press it to my mouth. My hand shakes, and Maddox's goes up to curl around mine. He holds it steady as I take gulping sips, desperate to ease the ache in my throat. I shift and a sharp pain radiates through my calf. I got shot. Someone shot at me. I let the cup go and Maddox thrusts it towards the nurse.
Leave,
he demands. But I have only just finished checking her vitals. The doctor will want to see her and...
I said...
He barks, his voice a deadly hiss.
Leave.
I...
Now...
He bellows. She hurries out of the room, and the door closes quietly behind her. Maddox shifts, moving out from behind me and getting off the bed. He gets a chair and drags it over, sitting beside me and staring at me with blue eyes that have clearly had no sleep. He's got dark rings under them, and his jaw is tense, his muscles ticking. I watch him, and my heart clenches. He slept with Ash. He slept with Ash. My heart burns. It burns like someone has shoved a match inside and lit it on fire. I have no reason for this kind of jealousy. Maddox and I have never been an item. But the way it hurt shocked me. It shocked me because I didn't realize it would bother me. You slept with Ash, I whisper, dropping my eyes.
Look at me, Santana,
he orders. I shift my gaze, staring into his, hating that I love his eyes so much, but I do. I love his eyes. I love his entire, rugged, gorgeous face.
You have never cared who I fucked before.
His voice is a low rasp.
Why now?
She was my friend, I say, turning away again. His voice comes out like a deadly whip.
Didn't say you could look away. Now turn your eyes back to me.
I grind my teeth, but I turn back to him. He leans in closer, his leather jacket squeaking with each movement.
I didn't fuck her.
I blink at him. You didn't?
No.
But you were still with her, I whisper. His eyes scan over my face before his mouth pulls into a thin line.
Ain't going into details with you, but yeah, I was still with her. Didn't know it would matter to you.
It doesn't, it's fine. I've just had a hard time, it's nothing.
You lying to me?
No, Maddox.
Santana,
don't. I growl. I have enough to worry about. Do you hear me?
Who shot you?
He murmurs, dropping the subject. I shake my head. My tears burning again. I don't know. I left the compound and drove to your house. I got out and suddenly, out of the blue, someone was shooting at me.
I had no idea where it was coming from or who was doing it. I leapt back into my car, too scared to go inside. The bullet hit my calf as I was diving in. I drove as far as I could, but the pain was intense. I got out and went for help, but I don't remember what happened after that.
Someone found you out cold.
His voice is hard.
By the time I got notified, you were already in the hospital.
Someone shot at me, Maddox. Why? He shakes his head.
I'm going to find out.
I nod, turning away.
Tana?
He begins, but the door opens and a doctor and police officer come inside. Maddox growls, low and throaty, and shoves out of the chair.
Why the fuck is a cop in here?
The cop steps forward and extends his hand. Maddox looks at it with pure disgust.
My name is Sergeant Rambo.
Maddox snorts.
That's so. Your parents watch too many movies, Sergeant?
Sergeant Rambo, clearly having lived with jokes about his name, stiffens and nods his head.
I've heard every joke about my name. Now, if you're finished, I'd like to talk to Santana while the doctor checks her over.
Maddox crosses his arms, unperturbed.
Anything you ask her in front of me.
Rambo glares at him but nods. He walks over to me, and as he nears closer, I see he's quite an attractive man. He's got messy brunette hair with light gray eyes. He smiles as he sits down on the chair Maddox was on, and I give him a weak smile back.
How are you feeling, Santana?
I'm fine, I croak.
I just wanted to ask you a few questions about the shooting. It was a drive-by.
Maddox snaps.
Are you done?
Sergeant Rambo growls now, turning to Maddox.
I hear you've had a few problems with your club lately, Maddox. You'll appreciate that it seems strange that this young lady was shot only weeks after one of your members was locked away. That shit has been dealt with.
Maddox snarls.
You got Howard in prison. Anything that was going down with the clubs was on him. Now are you finished?
I'm not, Rambo says, turning back to me.
What happened, Santana?
It was like he said, I say, meeting Rambo's gaze dead on. I was just driving, and I got out of my car. I heard shots and yelling, and I got back into my car quickly. A shot hit my calf.
You see who did it?
No, I say.
And you're sure it wasn't aimed at you?
I keep my face expressionless. Yes, I'm sure. I heard yelling over the road, lots of it. Cars were going past. It was hectic. The shot wasn't aimed at me.
It seems strange a shot would come so close if it wasn't aimed at you.
There were shots being fired at a car. It missed and came towards me. I don't see how that's so complicated. He narrows his eyes.
Very well.
He asks me a few more questions, and then he leaves. The doctor watches him go before turning to me. He's been checking my wound. I watched as he unraveled it. It's not as bad as I thought. It hurt like hell when it went in, like a hot poker through my flesh. But maybe that's the beauty of it. A neat wound.
Your wound is looking good, Santana,
the doctor says.
We were able to get the bullet out. There seems to be no nerve damage.
I nod. Thank you.
She ready to come home?
Maddox demands. I turn to him. He's standing by the door, arms crossed. The doctor swallows.
I'd like to keep her another night. She's only just come out from being put under, and I want to make sure there are no side effects. Then I'm putting two guys on her door.
The doctor shakes his head.
No, I'm sorry, the patients need their rest. I said.
Maddox snarls.
I'm putting a few boys on her door. She needs to feel safe, and she will. You said it was a drive-by,
the doctor protests.
Why would she need protection if it was a drive-by?
Maddox charges towards him, causing the doctor to take a few steps back.
Because I don't trust any fucker. And that girl on the bed, she's my fucking girl. Now I'll be putting two of my guys on, and you'll fucking like it.
The doctor nods.
Very well, but they need to stay quiet.
Maddox smirks.
Unless the nurses feel like getting a good fucking, they'll stay quiet.
I slap my hand to my forehead. The doctor makes a disgusted sound and Maddox laughs. I peek through my fingers and watch the doctor leave. That was cruel, I say, dropping my hand.
He deserved it. Who do you want on your door, darling?
I shrug. I don't care. He narrows his eyes and walks over, lowering himself down. His fingers go up and around the back of my neck, and he pulls me forward so his mouth is only an inch or less from mine.
I said, who do you want on the door?
I said, I don't care, I snap.
Santana?
Maddox? He makes a low hissing sound and presses his forehead to mine. This has always been his way of showing me affection. It's strange, but it's his. He smells so good, and I want to wrap myself in him. The ache in my chest is getting bigger, and I feel so frightened.
I'm sending Mac in, and maybe Tyke.
Mac is back? I whisper, pulling away. Maddox grunts.
Yeah.
I smile. I can't help it. I adore Mia Coda Mac Williams. He's Maddox's adopted brother and somewhat of a nomad. He travels around, joining in different chapters instead of sticking with one. He enjoys traveling and being alone. Then yes, send him in.
You got a thing for my brother?
I snort. Would it matter if I did? You have a thing for my friends.
Santana?
He warns. Maddox? With a grunt, he stands.
I'm going to get some things for you. I'll send the guys in now.
I nod. He walks to the door. When he gets there, he turns back to me.
Santana?
I stare up at him. Yeah?
Don't you ever scare me like that again.
Chapter 2. 2008. Santana. I'm cold. So cold, my entire body has stopped hurting, and now I can't feel anything. I can't feel my sister's hand in mine. I can't feel my toes or my legs or even the hard concrete beneath us. I could die like this, and I know I wouldn't feel it. We're going to die if we don't get warm soon. I sit up, crying out in pain as what feels like 1,000 tiny needles stabbing into my skin radiates through my body. I need to find shelter. I need to find warmth, and I need to get us out of this weather. I rub my hands over the holes that have appeared in my old blue jeans. I turn and stare down at Pippa, who has grown frail and weak. Her eyes are sunken, her hair is dull, and her body is so tiny she's got nothing to fall back on. This is all my fault. I took her onto the streets, thinking we had a chance at freedom. Instead, we found ourselves trapped once more, only this time it was from hunger, desperation, cold, and dangerous people. Come on, Pippi, I whisper, reaching down to take her hands. I'm going to find us somewhere warm. She stares up at me, her lips cracked and a dark shade of blue. She's freezing. We need to get warm or she'll die. Or worse, I'll die, and she'll be left with no one. I can't allow that. I pull her up and she comes slowly. Her knees wobble as she holds on to me. I wrap an arm around her, trying not to become fearful at how cold her skin is. We're going to get some help, you hear me? We've been out here for around 6 months now, and more often than not, we've been able to get through. It's only been in the last month that we've started to struggle. People are heartless when it comes to the homeless. They don't want to help. They just want to keep walking and pretend they never met our desperate eyes. After all, the people with homes have a warm bed to sleep in each night. What do they need to worry about, aside from what to eat for breakfast? Breakfast. My stomach rumbles as I pull Pippa down the pathway. My parents raised me never to trust strangers, but now I'm going to do the only thing I can think of. I'm going to beg. I'm going to knock on as many doors as I have to and beg until someone gives in, until someone gives us something warm or some food. I lead Pippa into the housing area closest to where we were sleeping. She's slowing, her body struggling to even take a step. I pull her up the first driveway and lean her against a pole while I knock. An elderly man answers, his eyes narrowing in disgust as he takes us in.
Not interested,
he barks, slamming the door. That's it? I knock again, but he doesn't answer. It's okay. I smile weakly to Pippa. There are so many more houses. I lead her through a solid 50 houses before we reach one that gives us a chance. The man in this house is younger, only about 35 or so. He's got a light scattering of gray in his dark hair and eyes the color of champagne. He's quite attractive and seems friendly enough as he looks us over.
Can I help you?
He asks. My sister and I, we're homeless. We have nowhere to go and she's freezing. Please, sir, if you could spare a blanket or some food, I would be forever grateful, I whisper. He stares at us, his eyes scanning over me and then Pippa. A smile appears on his face as he shoves the door open.
Come in. Let's get you warmed up.
My eyes widen. All I can think of is the old saying that states, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. What if this man is going to murder us? Or rape us? It's clear he can see my hesitation because he gives me a warm smile and steps forward.
I've lived a hard life before. I understand. I'm not going to hurt you. Come in, please.
I turn to Pippa, and one look at her frail body has me reaching for her.
What's your names?
He asks as we step inside his warm house. I'm Santana, I whisper, and this is Pippa.
Welcome, girls. I'm Kennedy.
2014, Maddox. Who do you think shot her, Prez? Crypt asks, leaning against the desk, crossing his boots. I'm guessing someone from the Tinman soldiers. It has to be. Nothing else makes sense. They know we sent her in to save Claire, and now they want revenge. Not to mention all the shit that went down with you and Ash. Wouldn't take much to figure out what she meant to me. Howard might be in prison, but his VP has stood up and taken his spot. We're still at war. Crip nods. Yeah, we fucking are. She got anyone else who might want to hurt her? I shrug. I don't fucking know. There are some people from her past, but I don't know any of them or what they're about. You told her about her sister yet? My eyes shoot to his, and I glare so fucking hard he flinches. Calm down, he snaps, throwing his hands up. I'm only asking. I'm not telling her a damn word about her sister until I know more. You got any more? Nothing. Nothing at all. I got a name. Crip nods, encouraging me on. Kennedy Bain. Crip flinches. Say again? Kennedy Bain. Motherfucker. Crip barks. What? Kennedy Bain is in prison, Maddox. I know, I heard his name when I was in there. My eyes wide and I step forward. That's so. That's so. The fucker is in there for drug possession. He's a huge dealer, but he got fucked over. I reach up, running a hand through my hair. Santana was high as a fucking kite when I found her, and she'd been that way for a while. She used to murmur the name Kennedy in her sleep, but she never told me what the man meant to her. I'm assuming it's the same man. After all, his name is linked to her sister. How does he fall into this shit with her sister? Crypt asks. I swing my eyes to him. He's a name that keeps popping up. Santana know him? As far as I know, yeah. She won't tell me what he means to her. Crypt thinks about that, then mutters, You thought of taking her to him and finding out? No fucking way, I bark. I don't know what that man means to her or if he's the same one, and until I do, I'm not telling her where he is. She's in enough danger. Until I know he's no threat, she ain't going to know about any of this. She's going to hate you, Prez. She's gonna fucking lose her shit when she finds out what you've been hiding. I lift a smoke, lighting it and pressing it to my lips. I know that. Well, you got my silence. What are you going to do about Kennedy? I smirk at Crypt as I take a long drag. I'm going to pay him a visit.
Chapter 3, 2014, Santana. I fall asleep as soon as Maddox leaves, and remain that way until a hand touches my shoulder. I flutter my eyes open and look up to see Mac standing over me. A small croak leaves my throat as a big smile appears on my lips. He leans down, brushing his scratchy lips over my forehead.
How you doing, Chante?
I smile at his nickname for me, which means heart, and reach out, touching his cheek. Chief, I whisper. You haven't called me. He grins. He hates being called Chief, and I'm the only one he allows to get away with it without a fight. Mac is Native American, and one of the most breathtaking men I've ever had the pleasure of laying my eyes on, aside from Maddox. He's got these deep, dark brown eyes set in the most defined, chiseled face I've ever seen on a man. He has a square jaw, full lips, and dark olive skin that's so silky it's hard not to reach out and touch it. His long, thick, dark brown hair flows halfway down his back. He's tall, lean but beautifully muscled, and doesn't have one tattoo on his perfect skin. He's a bad boy, though, more temperamental and aggressive than half the bikers in the club. Mac had a hard life and was adopted out to Maddox's family when he was only 5. No one really knows his history. Mac runs a hand over his jaw. I've been busy. I pout at him and he grins again, leaning down to kiss my lips. Mac and I have always had a good relationship. He was the solid rock when I was coming out of my drug haze. Maddox stayed by my side day and night, but it was Mac who kicked my ass when I didn't want to go on. He never showed me any sympathy. He just pulled me out and made me start again. Well, I say when he pulls away, I should announce to the world that I've been kissed by the maddest biker around. He snorts.
That wasn't a kiss, Jante. It was a fucking peck.
Am I not good enough to get a real kiss from you, Chief? He laughs throatily.
Course you are, but my brother would cut my cock off and feed it to me in pieces.
I laugh. He would not.
Oh, he would.
I reach out and take his hand. His rough fingers are covered with a whole lot of scars. How have you been? He sits down beside me, letting me hang on to his hand. This is a surprise because Mac doesn't like to be touched a whole lot.
Good. Decided to come back and hang around for a while. Sick of riding, and it seems like my little bro needs me here.
He's a big boy. I smirk. He can take care of himself. Mac laughs.
No doubt. I need a break all the same.
Are you staying with us? He nods.
For a while. Got my own place lined up.
He lets go of my hand and takes me by the back of my head, bringing me close. He kisses my head, lingering for a long moment before standing.
But enough of that. There's someone outside hanging to see you. Going to be out there. You yell out if you need me.
Okay, I say, watching him retreat. A moment later, Ash enters. She stands at the door for a long time, her hands fumbling with each other, her eyes puffy and red. I watch her, knowing that it isn't entirely her fault what happened between her, Crypt, and Maddox. She takes a hesitant step forward. You can come in, I say softly. She walks over and sits on the seat beside my bed. We stare at each other for a long, long time. I'm so sorry, Santana, she says, breaking the silence. I thought... I shake my head. I made it clear I wasn't interested in Maddox. I overreacted. It hurt me,
shocked me, and I've still got to come to terms with how I feel, but it wasn't your fault. I told you I was seeing someone else. I told you Maddox meant nothing to me. She shakes her head.
Doesn't matter. I knew he cared about you, and I did it anyway.
I smile sadly. If he cared about me, Ash, he wouldn't have done it in the first place. It isn't on you. It's on him. He's the one holding back, and he's the one dancing around whatever the hell is going on between us.
He's dancing because he's scared, she says softly. He's scared to hurt you.
I shrug. Maybe, but he's making his own choices. So am I. Us being apart, it's for the best.
Do you really believe that?
I nod. Yes. She sighs and leans in, wrapping her fingers around mine.
You scared me, Santana.
I thought, I'm okay, I assure her. It'll all be fine. Later that night, my phone buzzes beside me just as my eyes flutter closed. With a groan, I roll and flip it open. I see a message from Alec. He is so sweet, so kind, and real. He's what most girls dream about, because of course we don't dream of falling in love with a bad boy. No, we dream of white picket fences, big houses, and 3 children. I wish I were most girls. I dream of 2 things. A tall, dark man who I know is bad for me, and a man who can give me a white picket fence. There is a true battle between good and evil is so tempting. Maddox is my evil. He's my dark place. Yet I can't seem to push myself away from him. He makes me feel things I've never felt before. Then there's Alec. Sweet, charming, and so damned perfect. He's almost too perfect. I've tried to find flaws, but it would appear he has none. He's just a genuine good guy. His message has a big smile breaking out across my face, so much so that it begins to hurt. He always knows how to make me feel better, and that's something to hold on to. A.
Roses are red, violets are blue, but nothing is as beautiful or as sweet as you.
I want to roll my eyes, but I can't wipe the smile off my face long enough to do that. Instead, I respond. S. Are you always this charming to the girls you date? A.
Only the pretty ones.
S. What else do the pretty girls get? A.
You'll just have to find out. How are you, sweetheart?
S. My leg is sore, but I'm fine. Just a few stitches. A.
Are you still getting out tomorrow? I am busting to see you.
S. Yep, tomorrow morning. A.
You up for lunch, then?
I frown. S. I don't think that's a good idea. Maddox won't like if I go out as soon as I get home. He takes a moment to respond. Alec knows about Maddox, about my past, and even though he agrees that Maddox was a good man for saving me, he doesn't like him. He's never met him, of course. I just don't think he likes the idea that Maddox is the president of a massive MC club. A.
Dinner Saturday?
S. That sounds perfect. I need a break. Where shall we meet? A.
I think it's about time I came and picked you up, don't you?
I sigh, but he's right. I can't hide him from Maddox forever. S. I think you're right. A.
I'll be at your house around 6:30.
S. See you then. A.
Good night, sweetheart.
I smile and tuck my phone away. I think about how Maddox will react to Alec showing up. I can only pray he's at the clubhouse, so I don't have to put up with his wrath. Because there will be wrath. Maddox is protective of me in a way that comes across as obsessive to some. I'm used to it now. I rub my eyes and decide to text Maddox, too. S. Hey. M.
Really? Hey?
I sigh. God, I wish I could say all the things I want to say to Maddox. But I can't. I just can't. We're a time bomb slowly ticking together. S. I just wanted to see how you were. M.
I'm fine. Going to be there in 10.
S. You're coming to see me?
M. Don't act like that shocks you. Max said you wanted to shower.
S. You might not be allowed in. It's getting late.
M. I'll get in.
I sigh and put the phone on the table beside the bed. He'll get in, all right. I lie back against the pillows and close my eyes, waiting. I must drift off because I feel a hand against my cheek what seems like only seconds later. I open my eyes and Maddox is staring down at me.
Just dropping your clothes off.
Thanks. He tilts his head to the side. God, he's beautiful. So fucking beautiful. I hate that any man would look this good. His long, dark hair falls down over his shoulders, so thick and beautiful. He's built like a statue. His muscles are big and hard. His chest, which I've had the pleasure of seeing many times, is defined and runs perfectly down to his eight-pack. Yeah, the man has the full eight-pack of love bumps. Then there's that V. Oh boy. He's got a chest full of tattoos. Even some running down his belly. The one I hate is across his back. I hate it because it's my name, Santana, in big black angry letters. Maddox, I whisper. He leans in closer. I'm safe, right? He nods.
Never let anything happen to you, Tana, you know that.
So I can go out once I get home. He tilts his head to the side, studying me.
Depends.
On?
You can go out, but the protection of the guys or me.
I close my eyes. Maddox, I begin, but he cuts me off.
Ain't giving you a choice. I can't keep you housebound, but I sure as shit ain't letting you out alone. You can argue, but it'll do you no fucking good.
Fine, I mutter. Fine.
You want to tell me why you're asking that question?
I want to go out with a friend Saturday night, that's all.
You're a bad fucking liar. Now tell me the damn truth.
I sigh and turn to him, our eyes meeting. I'm seeing someone, Maddox. I've never seen a man change from relaxed to stiff so quickly in my life. His entire body jerks and his shoulders straighten. His face hardens, and I watch in shock as his mouth forms a hard line. Oh, shit. It's nothing serious, I say quickly. I don't know why I need to justify my actions, but his look, it's hurting me. I just wanted you to know, considering all that's happened. He proceeds to hurt me more when he turns without another word and disappears out of the room. I call out for him, but he doesn't come back in. I wait. I wait and I wait. But I know he's gone. Well, shit. Chapter 4. 2008. Santana. I stroke my sister's hair, singing softly to her as she falls into a deep slumber. I stare down at her, knowing all of this is for her. There is no other reason I fight the way I do. When her breathing evens out, I push to my feet and walk out of the room, closing the door softly behind me. My feet feel heavy as I walk down the halls, knowing what I'm walking into, knowing how it's going to feel. The pain won't hold me back, though. Nothing will. Instead, the pain will be what drives me to let him hurt me. He knows I need him now. He knows he's all I've got. And if I'm honest, he's all I want. There is no beautiful reason for the attachment I feel towards Kennedy. The reason I want him is because he gives me what I want. What I need. He knows how to take the pain away. To let me pretend for just a moment that I'm anywhere but here.
Come here, Tanny,
he murmurs, stroking his knee. Kennedy isn't a cruel man. He doesn't hit me or hurt me. When I came to him 6 months ago, desperate and cold from the streets, he took Pippa and I in. One night only 4 months ago, 4 short months, he gave me something to help me feel better. From that day on, he gives me what I need, when I need it. I walk over to him, wishing I had the willpower to turn away. I've tried it, but nothing can make me turn from what he's offering. What he gives me makes me feel good inside, and I figure if I've got control over it, what can it hurt? Oh, how stupid I am. I slide onto his knee and his arm snakes around my waist. He smiles at me, showing me a dimple in his cheek as he ties a little yellow tube around my arm. I close my eyes, leaning into him, relishing in the feeling of the needle breaking my skin and the warm rush of liquid that fills my body as he injects me with pure heaven. Everything leaves. Nothing hurts. A smile plays lazily around my lips as I lean into him. He drops his ear to my lips, murmuring words I know I'll forget tomorrow. I have big plans for you, Tanny. Big plans. This will help. His words don't sink into the parts of my brain that they should. Instead, I'm drifting off into a happy place I've grown so accustomed to. A place where there is no pain, no heartache, and no lies. It's all beautiful and amazing and free. Good girl, he murmurs, kissing my temple. My good, sweet little girl. Being his good, sweet little girl feels good. So good I never want to leave.
Tana, wake up!
My mind is a foggy mess as I hear the voice, distant in my mind. I groan, shoving the cold, clammy hand on my face away. I want to sleep. I'm tired. My body is tired. I'm cold.
Tana, please!
Whimpering. I blink my eyes open, but all I see is a blurred figure in front of me. I blink some more. My head is pounding and my entire body hurts. Why do all things that feel good have to hurt so much after? Pippa, I croak.
I'm sick, Tana, I'm sick.
Sick. I feel sick right now, too. I push up onto my elbows, staring over at my little sister. She's pale. Really pale, and she's got chunks of vomit covering her shirt. My eyes widen and I stand quickly, too quickly. My head spins and I reach out to steady myself, using the wall as my stronghold.
What?
Why are you sick? Did you eat something bad? I groan. God, my head is pounding.
I just feel sick, and then I started throwing up. I tried to wake you so many times.
Her voice hitches and my entire body shakes with emotion as I realize I've let her down.
I'm sorry, Pippi, I whisper. Come on, let's get you cleaned up.
I lead her out of the room and down the halls. I reach the bathroom and gasp. There's vomit everywhere.
Oh, Pippi. I tried to keep it in the toilet, but it was coming so hard, Tana.
It's okay, I murmur. I'll get it. I slowly walk out and gather up a bucket and sponge. Then I head back in. Pippa is looking a little less pale, but she's still clutching her stomach. I lower my aching body to my hands and knees and start to clean up the mess. My stomach turns violently, and before I know it, my own vomit rises and joins hers on the floor. It's at that exact moment I know I've let my life spiral out of control. I know because my sister is sick, and instead of taking care of her, I'm suffering in my own self-inflicted world of pain. I've failed her. Chapter 5, 2014, Santana. I get out of the hospital early the next morning. Maddox is there to collect me, and he doesn't say a word as I hobble out with my bag. He's angry at me. I know he is. He doesn't like the idea of Alec, and I don't like the idea that it hurts him. But he's not yet once told me he regrets being with Ash, or even that he wants anything from me. I can't play games.
Get on my bike. Throw your bag to Mac.
He grunts. Maddox, I begin, but his hand shoots up in front of my face.
Don't.
You're angry at me, and I don't understand why. You were with Ash and Crypt at the same damned time, and now you're angry because I'm going on a date?
I said fucking don't.
He warns, his voice a low, lethal hiss. Jesus, I snap. Fine, you broody, arrogant. He cuts me off with a look so deadly my mouth snaps closed. I say nothing more. I just get on his bike, tossing my pack at Mac, who is watching the two of us argue. He catches it with one hand, throwing it in his side pannier. I get on the back of Maddox's bike. My leg stretches and pulls, burning slightly. Maddox gets on in front of me, starting the bike without another word. I hesitate, not wanting to put my arms around him. With a grunt, he reaches back and jerks my hands forward until they're curled around him. I grit my teeth as he pulls out onto the road, waving for the guys to follow. There are 10 or so bikers with us, for protection purposes, no doubt. They surround him as he rides, ensuring that if shots are fired, they have to go through them first. We arrive at his house, and another 4 bikers are already outside, watching to make sure no one came past while Maddox was gone. They'll trail me wherever I go now, and that's the sucky part of being protected by a club. When shit goes down, you can't get rid of them. I get off Maddox's bike, but his hand lashes out, curling around my wrist and holding me still. He turns to Tyke and Ryder and barks,
"The house good?"
"Good, Prez. Checked every inch. And there ain't no one come past."
Maddox gives a sharp nod and lets me go. I throw the pack Mac hands me over my shoulder, ignoring his smirk. I trudge past the bikers, well, I hobble past and head inside. The house is clean, surprisingly. My guess is Ash and possibly some of the old ladies have come around and cleaned it. Ignoring the voices below, I go straight to my room. I drop my bag onto the bed and sit down. I shove my jeans down over my hips and flick them off. I need a decent shower. I feel stale. Staring down at the bandage on my calf, I frown. I already know it's going to leave a good scar, and God, it hurts. I stretch it out a little and then finish undressing. I disappear into my bathroom, closing the door softly. The moment I step in and the warm water hits my skin is like heaven. I've missed it. I wash my hair twice, exfoliate my skin, and then get out. I dry my hair and pull a towel around myself. When I step out, I see Maddox right away. He's at the door, staring at me. His big arms are across his chest. He narrows his eyes when he sees I've showered and mutters,
"Are you supposed to get that wet?"
He nods his head in the direction of my leg. I shrug. It's fine, the dressing is waterproof. He nods and lifts a package.
"Painkillers."
"I don't want them." He stares at me, shaking his head as if not understanding. "I've had an addiction, a severe one. I don't want them."
"You're going to be fucking sore."
"So be it." He tucks them into his jeans, and then he lifts his eyes to mine. I can see how tight his jaw is, and I know he's pissed off because I'm going out with Alec. "Are you going to make me suffer all night?" I ask, pulling my towel tighter around myself.
"No."
"Is there a problem with me dating?"
"No."
"Fuck, Maddox, come on." He growls and runs his fingers through his long hair.
"Shit is going down and all you're thinking about is seeing some pansy fucking boy."
I glare at him, my fingers growing tight on my towel. Firstly, I care about the shit that's going down, and secondly, he is not a boy. Maddox grunts and uncrosses his arms.
"He's a goddamned boy, but you wouldn't know because you ain't ever had a fucking man."
Then he turns and walks towards the door. "Seriously? That's it?" He grunts. "Maddox!" Another grunt. "Asshole," I mutter.
"Brat,"
he retorts, and then closes the door behind me. "Men." 2014, Santana. I wake up sobbing. The pain in my leg is intense. It burns and itches, and my head is pounding from lack of decent sleep. I move, and it's clear the bruising has started to shine through because it feels as if someone has hit me with a sledgehammer. I try to throw my legs out of the bed, but a ragged cry leaves my throat. God, it hurts. My door flies open, and I look up to see a sleep-ruffled Maddox, half-naked, staring over at me. He runs his hand through his messy hair, his muscles flexing and pulling as he does.
What's going on?
Nothing. He mutters a few choice words and then growls,
What's fucking going on?
I'm in pain, I snap. Can you leave? He walks over, dropping onto the bed beside me.
Got some good painkillers there.
I can't take them, I mutter, crossing my arms.
You can.
No, I say, turning to him. I have a problem with addiction.
Santana, you had some in the hospital.
I know, but I can't take any more. The more I take, the harder it'll get. Don't make me take those, I whisper, exhausted. Please. He sighs.
You're asking me to sit here and watch you suffer in pain.
I'll be okay, I swear. It'll ease.
Let me get something for the swelling, then.
He stands and walks out. He returns 5 minutes later with a bag of peas wrapped in a towel. He sits back on the bed and points to the pillows.
Lie down.
I do as he asks, crying out with each movement. He takes my leg, gently, and places the pack over it. Then he stuffs some pillows under it, raising it slightly.
This should help.
Thanks. He stares over at me. And a sing-song voice calls out from his room, Maddox! Our eyes hold. I'm used to Maddox having women around, and I'm not in a position to argue,